tables, Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 21 to 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Over to Tom.
Tommy, thank you very much for reading, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us at the St. Nick's Talks this lunchtime. Now, the question we're considering this lunchtime is this: how can God say that I am right when I am wrong? How can God declare me right, declare me righteous in his courtroom when it is plain for everybody to see, and I take it that those of you who know me will have seen it, that I have done stuff wrong? For we saw together last week that that is the offer of the Christian gospel: full forgiveness in Jesus, despite everything that you and I have done wrong. The offer, we said, is of righteousness for those who trust in Jesus, which the scriptures pointed to all along. I mean, have a look down again at verse 21 of the passage we just had read out. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, that is, how to be made right with God, how to be declared right before God, declared right in his courtroom, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We saw together last week that this is a legal verdict, justified. The setting is the last day courtroom. And we said this is the verdict of the last day for the Christian in the present. Paul's concern is not at this stage of his letter, our transformation. Verse 24, we are justified. That's a legal word. We are justified by his grace as a gift. But the question then becomes, how can God grant justification? By what means? By what means can he grant this grace? We mentioned last week those Colston Four, those vindicated students we've been reading about in the news. That appears, doesn't it, a miscarriage of justice in so many ways. I mean, how can you tear down a statue, throw it into an estuary, be recorded on film doing it, and yet not be guilty of criminal justice in a court of law? I mean, it's just an extraordinary thought, isn't it? But there cannot be a fudge with God. He cannot fix the verdict. When he sees our sin, he can't just look away. There can't be legal fiction, be an unfair, unrighteous verdict. By what means can God extend to us this grace? And the answer of the passage is verse 24, redemption. That is the means by which God grants to us his grace. That's the means by which this verdict, or this righteous legal verdict, can extend to us this great gift of God's grace. I mean, have a look down again at verse 23. For all have sinned, writes Paul, and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Our focus for this lunchtime is verse 24, redemption. That is the means by which God grants to us his grace, by which this legal verdict, one of righteousness, freedom, can be granted to us in God's great grace. And you'll see from on the handout where we're heading in these verses. Here is how we can be declared righteous by God's grace. Big point, there is redemption that is available in Jesus, and we're then going to spell that out, pass that out in a couple of different ways. Now, redemption is a compound noun, at least in the Greek language. Apolutrosis, apo, the prefix, means away or away from. Luo means to loose, and tron, the suffix, by a payment. Literally, the word means pay, to loose away. And it might be, for Paul's readers, this was language of the marketplace for buying and selling slaves. So I took the opportunity as part of my prep this week to reread a couple of chapters of Leon Morris's classic book, The Apostolic Preaching of the Cross. You know, it's a properly old book. It's one of those books that smells really musty. It sort of makes you feel quite learned as you read it. And I took the opportunity to reread some of it this week. And summing up his word study on this great Bible word, redemption, he concludes that the word was used in various ways in the first century. So I quote, in the Old Testament and in rabbinic writers, the basic idea in redemption is the paying of a ransom price to secure a liberation, which is what we said just a moment ago. Circumstances may vary, for the word applies A, to the freeing of a prisoner of war, B, of a man under sentence of death, C, of articles in pawn, or D, of a slave seeking manumission, that is, freedom from his master. And yet Morris then goes further and he argues in the Bible that redemption is a trademark move of God. Just turn back in your Bibles back to chapter 6 of Exodus as we establish this point. Redemption is a trademark move of God. I think it's page 48. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. This is God speaking to Moses, page 48. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. The story of the Exodus is, if you like, a prototype redemption, a glorious, a trademark move of God, a rescue out of bondage from, in this case, Israel's slavery, a glorious trademark move of God. And it's a rescue, do you note, verse 6, achieved at a great cost to God. Verse 6, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. In other words, it doesn't come easily, this redemption. It involves some sort of effort from God. And it is against this background Paul refers here to redemption, to a rescue secured for people by God. As with Israel in Egypt, God has done something that is costly. He has rescued us, the trademark move of God. I wonder, by the way, if that's what Paul's getting at in verse 21, back in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets, that is the constitutive parts of the Old Testament scriptures, the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The Exodus from Egypt was a preview of this moment. Now, in Jesus Christ, the saving act of God. But from what has God saved us? Well, I've put on the handout sin's penalty, by which I mean the sort of righteous, measured punishment that we deserve from God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And it's true to say that Christians have been set free from sin's slavery, set free instead to become slaves of God. So verse 9, we're under sin. Jesus has freed us from that slavery. In chapter 6, we are to now serve God. But our focus, remember, is the courtroom, not the marketplace of slavery. The focus is the courtroom of our God. And the question is, or verdict, how by faith can we be justified, set free from death, the thing we deserve from God? And Paul's answer is, in Jesus, God has freed us from sin's penalty, from death, for life, the gracious gift of God. He's freed us from sin's slavery, but more than that, from judgment. Now, in Jesus Christ, I needn't face God's wrath. If I can put it this way to sort of help us get our heads around it. As I come to Jesus, justice no longer requires that I die. That is gloriously no longer the sentence that I deserve. The wages of sin is death, yes. But that is no longer my verdict. I am free from death and alive in Christ the Lord. And in fact, that phrase, in Jesus, end of verse 24, is the key to understanding this verdict. How in Jesus, you might ask, am I set free by the Lord? Well, by faith, I am united in a real way to Jesus, like a husband or a wife, or like my head and the body parts that I've got. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, they're connected, aren't they? Indissolubly. And when my head goes, my body will follow. What do we know of Jesus? He's been justified, hasn't he? Found righteous. He's been raised to life, chapter 1, declared the Son of God. And what do we know of Jesus? Well, he has already received his verdict. Jesus Christ, who died, now raised to life by God. That's why the Christian can know today their final courtroom verdict. Jesus Christ, our life, has been raised up by God. Sometimes hear people asking that kind of question, don't you? I mean, how certain are you as a Christian that you'll be good with God on the last day? You know, when you stand in the courtroom, how certain are you that you'll get the thumbs up from God? Well, the answer is, in Jesus, I am already vindicated. I have already got a great thumbs up from God. His death was mine. His life is mine. His verdict is my verdict. I am forgiven for so long as he is at the right hand of God. One with my Lord, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God. And as we close, we must just note it is God who has paid our ransom. We have been set free, we might say, at an awesome cost to God. In fact, God gave his Son for us to purchase our redemption. This was not some trifling thing for the Lord God. I mean, just let's read from verse 21 again, and this will set us up for next week. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. The offering of Jesus was the payment of our ransom. That's what rescue, that is what redemption cost God. He gave his only son for us. In Jesus, paid our ransom, acted in his son to turn aside his wrath. We'll come back to that next week. And that's why the application that I've put down on the handout is of confidence, confidence before Almighty God. Oh, not confidence in what I've done, my merits or my virtues. On my own, of course, I've got absolutely nothing to offer God. But confidence in Jesus. God has acted to redeem me. I can now, by faith, be reconciled to God. There is real hope in Jesus. There is forgiveness. We can be declared righteous. It is received by faith. It's a great gift of God. Now, it feels like we should end at least one of these three talks on these verses with a reference to Martin Luther, doesn't it? The great reformer who famously, by reading the book of Romans, came to discover the gospel for himself and put his trust in God. So here goes. Here's what Luther said with reference to these verses. And just listen out for how he reacts when he discovers this great truth about God. So this is what he writes. At last, by the mercy of God, meditating day and night, I gave heed to the context of the words, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Romans chapter 1. There I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that by which the righteous lives by a gift of God, namely faith. And this is the meaning. The righteousness of God is revealed by the gospel, namely the passive righteousness with which merciful God justifies us by faith. As it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open gates. There a totally other face of the entire scripture showed itself to me, and I extolled my sweetest word with a love as great as the hatred with which I had before hated the word, righteousness of God. Thus, that place in Paul was for me truly the gate to paradise. Well, may that be true for each of us this lunchtime, the righteousness of God, received by faith, secured by God for us through redemption.